With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Another night in April, another ton of drama. And, you know, there's one player in the NBA that really needs name tags. I guess a couple of games into a playoff series and a few years into his career, he's not yet familiar with a lot of the guys around the league. So I'll explain that coming up. It's hard to know where to start. We've got the top two teams in the East flexing their muscles in the NBA. We had yet another overtime game between the Blue Jackets and the Capitals, and it just quirky series there. Not only overtime in all three games, but the visiting team has won all three games, much to the relief of Capitals fans who are really worried, I'm sure, about going down 0-3 in this first round series against the Blue Jackets. And so a lot to talk about in both hoops and hockey, but I feel like the only appropriate way to start this hour, and I know a lot of you are just waking up, and so maybe you went to bed before the last playoff games, the West Coast playoff games, were wrapped up. So then you might not know that the historic, unprecedented march of the Las Vegas Golden Knights continues.
Carlson back to the attack. Here he goes to Riley Smith across, scores! Braden McNabb, the former king, and it's 1-0 Vegas. To the boards, to the corner. Schmidt will try and hold it there, and that's going to do it. As the horn sounds, and the Knights have ousted the Kings in their historic first ever playoff series victory is a clean sweep.
Chris Cuthbert with the final call there on the NBC Sports Network. Yeah, this was a tense game because it was yet another one-goal affair. All four games between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Los Angeles Kings were settled by one goal. You know what that means? It means the goalies were critical, were extremely important. And Jonathan Quick wasn't bad. He certainly prevented this from being anything more than a one goal game, and did a lot of work. And I know it's easy to look at a sweep and say, they sucked. But think about the fact that the margin was so slim in each of these games. The difference, Marc-Andre Fleury. And that's not a surprise to anyone who's seen him play in the past with the Penguins and knows that he has Stanley Cup playoff experience. And so I keep coming back to that. As much as this is history for the Vegas Golden Knights in their first year as a franchise, this is not new. This is not the inaugural season for Marc-Andre Fleury, nor was it his first playoff series. I mean, this is a guy who in his past has championship experience, and it's not even the first time he's won four consecutive playoff games.
It was a tight series, you know, it was low scoring on both sides, right? And I thought Quick had an awesome series too. And both teams were defensive-minded a bit, taking care of their business in their own end, and I think that's why it showed in the end results.
So Fleury, on NBC Sports Network as well, stops 31 shots in last night's clincher, his second shutout of the series, and how about this number? This is incredible. He stops 127 of 130 shots that he faces in the four games of this series. So you want to know why Las Vegas was able to cruise into the second round, its first season ever? It's because the guys they rely on, they're veterans who set the tone. They bring a wealth of experience. There's no shortcut to that. And Fleury was brilliant. So congratulations to the Knights. We'll get a little more reaction from their coach who, he doesn't wax loquacious on many occasions, but it's always good to hear from him. He's all business. He's a real professional. And then James Neal too. Love his perspective. I mean, think about where Fleury and Neal were a year ago, not quite a year ago, but they were in the Stanley Cup final and then their teams leave them unprotected. And I get it. It's business. Every pro athlete has to come to grips with that at some point. It's business, and it was a business decision. Fleury believed that he could still be a full-time starter, and he has proved that and then some. But the Penguins had to make a choice. So Fleury embraces his new challenge. And think about Neil. I mean, at some point, they found out that they were unprotected, and they recognized that this was going to be a brand new start, like it or not. And they've been two huge reasons why the Vegas Golden Knights have had such incredible success, unprecedented success, in their first year as a franchise.
And we are ready.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, our hump show here on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. But I wanted to share this with you. This comes from the NHL. The Golden Knights, just the third team in hockey, hoops, or baseball. All right, so we're talking NHL, NBA, MLB. Just the third team in the history of each of these leagues to complete a four-game sweep in its first ever playoff series. Okay, so that's been done three times before, but not in quite a while. Or it's been done twice before, excuse me, but not in quite a while. The Knights are the third. They're the only team ever to do it as an expansion team. So the only one ever to do it in their first ever season. But here are the other two who've done it in the past. I love this. The Penguins, who actually did it in 1970 versus the Oakland Seals. How about that series? The Penguins and the Seals.
And nerd alert!
I said this earlier. If it was Navy Seals, well, then I'd be nervous. That's intimidating. But I feel like this was two cold weather animals, the Penguins and the Seals. Pittsburgh achieved that feat in 1970, but it was their third season in the NHL, so not the first season like the Golden Knights. And then the Boston Braves, how about this? Back in 1914 versus the Philadelphia Athletics. So it took the Boston Braves nearly four decades to get into their first playoff series. And when they did get there, they had the sweep. But yeah, that was their 39th year as a franchise.
Everything Boston.
Boston Braves, you're a piece of history. Well, that was a long time to wait for Braves fans. But yeah, congratulations to the Golden Knights. It's an incredible story. It's one that you can't help but appreciate whether you're a hockey lover or not. But if you don't have a hockey team, kind of feels like it'd be a good time to jump on board. There's a great love affair going on between these Golden Knights and their new fans. And I feel like it would be a great destination to not just Vegas, but to go out there for a game at the T-Mobile Arena just to experience that crowd and that passion. And they've certainly been a big part of that. The fans have packed the arena over capacity for every single home game. They continue to set records even now into the playoffs. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So there are a couple of other games in the NHL. We will get to those. But the top two teams in the Eastern Conference in the NBA were in action last night. And it's not that they weren't good games, because there's certainly plenty that you can pull from them. But what stood out is the backcourts, really the backcourts for these two teams, Toronto and Boston, and the way that they were able to flex their muscles and establish themselves early. And Toronto Raptors fans have been waiting for this. They've been waiting to see DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry together, not one when the other one stumbles, but together rise up and embrace this playoff challenge and, in this case, play like the top seed.
Wall in the lane, blocked by DeLon Wright. What a block by Wright. DeRozan, front court, on the bounce, turnaround, jumper, good! 113-103, the Raptors go up 10 with a couple of huge plays by Wright and DeRozan. 10-point Toronto lead, 115-105. DeRozan, corner three, good! It's a long two. They're going to give him a long deuce in the near corner left side. 117-105 Toronto. DeRozan back, floater in the lane, got the roll. Man, that thing had four rims. Back rim, front rim, and down. Toronto brings it over center. Lorenzo Brown holding it. The Raptors are going to go up 2-0 in the series. It's a victory at the ACC for the Raptors. They defeat the Wizards to to take a 2-0 lead in the series. The final, 130-119.
Paul Jones with the calls on the Toronto Raptors radio network. This was actually a 20-point spread for a good portion of this game, and Toronto used 13 guys. So even their G League signee got into the game, and that's one reason why the Wizards were able to make a run late and get it down into single digits. But this was an incredible performance for the backcourt. So you had DeMar DeRozan matching his career playoff high with 37 points, and then you had Kyle Lowry, who had a career playoff high 12 assists. John Wall was himself, his brilliant self, but Bradley Beal only had 9 points. And so you can't see that backcourt for the Raptors go off the way they did and allow them that kind of production and those kinds of numbers if you're not going to be able to match it with your own backcourt. And certainly we've seen Wall and Beal do that in the past. But in the face of that crowd, and Toronto came out swinging. So this wasn't tentative in any way, shape, or form. They were determined to get that 2-0 series lead. And the press conference with DeMar and Kyle afterwards was kind of fun. So at one point, Kyle Lowry said, and I'm sure this was a private joke, but at some point he said that DeMar sucks as a friend, but is great as a basketball player. I don't know how much he sucks as a friend, though, because then they were cracking each other up.
Yeah, I'm like Neo now.
Oh. Yo, that was good. That was good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That's Morpheus.
I just love it when guys crack up. And it's not like it was planned. I mean, that was just so, it was so organic and authentic. So DeMar calls himself Neo. And then you, Kyle Lowry, just, he kind of, what? And then cracks up, and yeah, it was cool. So good for them. I mean, these are the two games, you know, exactly the way that Toronto wanted to start out. And they've already gotten that monkey off their back of winning a playoff opener. Certainly they're going to face some resistance in Washington. The series isn't done. But to see them play like this, to own that number one seed and to act like they are the number one seed is good. I mean, you can already tell that it's a different feel to this playoffs. Now, there's certain to be some resistance and I'm sure plenty of adversity ahead, but it's good to see the Raptors playing the way that they are.
So, Keanu Reeves.
Oh, I love Keanu
like
Reeves.
Like the Matrix, maybe because wonderful. He came flying out of there like in the Matrix.
Yeah, so that's one of the top seeds in the East. The Celtics actually were in their second game against the Bucks too, and this didn't have nearly as many momentum swings as the opener did, though there was some back and forth, thanks in large part to the turnovers by the Milwaukee Bucks, especially in the first half. We'll get to that game coming up because Eric Bledsoe, who now you may remember is the guard that got so wrong-footed by Terry Rozier in the late stages of regulation. So their first game went into overtime, remember, and Rozier takes this inbounds pass and has this wicked crossover and then steps back, and Bledsoe, he just got so crossed up and wrong-footed that he couldn't even lunge at Terry to try to defend that three when it was going up. Now, that was pre-Chris Middleton, who hit the crazy jumper that sent it into overtime. But that's kind of where things started. And now I feel like Bledsoe's going to need some name tags or something. I don't know. So we'll get to that straight ahead. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Good morning to you. It's your hump day. It'll make you feel better if you use camel emojis. Just, I promise, it's very therapeutic. After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Rozier shovels into the corner. Jalen checks his feet and hits another three. Bledsoe's three got the Bucks close, but a 10-2 run keyed by Jaylen Brown. He's got 26 and counting, and the Celtics have their largest lead of game two. To Rozier, switches to the right hand, kick out Jaylen Brown. A good night three, and he banks it in.
Off the window. Off the window. Window to the wall.
And Jaylen Brown all smiles because he knows he got away with that one. Celtics by 19 here with 2:08 to go. And a Celtics team that has spent the entire season doing what everyone said they could not do blows out Milwaukee in game two, and they will head to Wisconsin up 2-0.
I think Jalen loves the moment. I think he really appreciates the opportunity, like, to compete on this stage and at this level. And we've seen him against the better teams in the league all year be able to really raise his level in some of the biggest games.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jaylen Brown is not a rookie, but he's still only 21 years old. And at 21, he becomes the youngest in the storied history of the Boston Celtics to have at least 30 points in a playoff game. Wowzers. 30 points for the second-year guard. You hear a couple of the big buckets there with Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell on the Celtics radio network. So Boston is also up 2-0. And this one didn't require, what do we see? In the final 15 seconds, roughly, of game number one, huge three from Malcolm Brogdon, and then we saw it to tie it. And then we saw three from Terry Rozier, and then we got Chris Middleton with a half second left and that incredible shot from about 35 feet. And then they go into overtime. So this game didn't have the same dramatics at the end, but it had some fireworks in the post-game press conferences. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, I don't know if you know this or not. I screw up names a lot, okay? It's pretty much part of who I am, who I am as a person, but also what I do on the show, okay? Like, I'm just, it's not like I only do it here on the radio. You know, cross names and get the right first name, but the wrong last name because I'm thinking of another athlete. And just, it happens all the time in my life. I call my pets by the other pets' names. So sometimes I call my dog by my cat's name. I call my nieces by the wrong name. Sometimes I'll call them by my sister-in-law's name. I mean, there's just a lot of names. Anyway, so I get it. People get names wrong. It's just, it's an accident. It's not on purpose. And when Terry Rozier was talking about Eric Bledsoe, after the series opener, again, they're matched up together, and Bledsoe's the one that got wrong-footed on his crossover move with that three at the end of regulation. He called him Drew Bledsoe. I mean, come on. Honest mistake. Think about where he plays. He plays in Boston. Honest mistake. So he called him Drew Bledsoe. Whoop-dee-doo. I'm not sure if that's why Eric Bledsoe was so ticked off after game number two. I suspect it's a combination of being frustrated by the way the Celtics backcourt was playing and by the fact that they've fallen down 2-0. He gets asked about Terry Rozier's performance, and his response is going to be all over the place. I dare say it's going to be across the world four or five times before we even get to lunch.
Terry Rozier's gotten off to a strong start to the series. No turnovers in 78 minutes. How personally do you take that matchup?
Who?
Terry Rozier.
I don't even know who that is.
Yes, you do. But if you don't, his name's on the back of his jersey. I don't even know who the bleep that is. Come on, man. I mean, I get that you're frustrated. I get it. But is that really what you want to be airing all over the country? Is that really the comment that you want to go viral? You don't know who that is?
Terry Rozier.
I don't even know who that is.
I get that you're frustrated. Now, I'm quite certain that he didn't mean to call you Drew. It's not like he calls you Uncle Drew. He didn't mean to call you Drew. Just whatever. And maybe that's not even it. Maybe Eric Bledsoe is just extremely frustrated by the way this series has gone. I mean, still, yeah. Not forget bulletin board material. It's not even that. It's just one of those pieces of audio that is going to be everywhere.
Sorry, excuse my cuss word, but.
Just trust me. Before I even get off the air, maybe you're gonna hear it in a bunch of different places.
Talking about maybe he was dreaming of I don't know.
I mean, I wonder if by the end of hump day, he's going to want that back.
I don't even know that is.
You're a liar. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So can I recommend name tags? So that way, regardless of which way Rozier is facing, whether he's got his back to you or whether he's got the front of the jersey to you, you recognize who he is. I wonder, now, I didn't hear any response, so I don't know if it just wasn't possible at that point, but you know the media was like, oh my gosh, get to Terry, ask him what he thinks, because that's just what we do, you know, we scurry and we scuttle, and we tweet and we type and we tell stories. So the Celtics are up 2-0, and Eric Bledsoe is going to be in the news for all the wrong reasons. There was another game, actually a late game, And this one's, I think, a real big ouch, like a source of much consternation for Portland Trailblazers fans, because they had a lead at halftime against the Pelicans, and there were a bunch of opportunities, even after going down by double figures. This was in the third quarter. Their third quarter was pretty abysmal there at home. They still were able to come back and tie the game multiple times against New Orleans in the fourth quarter, even take a brief, it was a very brief, one-point lead. But what will stand out to me about this game, too, between the Pels and the Blazers, is that here they are on their own court, and for whatever reason, Portland cannot get to the loose balls. They cannot come up with those 50-50 plays. It seemed like every single huge rebound, every single loose ball was tracked down and secured by the Pelicans in the critical moments late in the game. We had Brian Wheeler, who's the voice, the amazing voice of the Portland Trailblazers, on with us live in our first hour right after the game. And I couldn't get him to do Boom Shakalaka because he was kind enough to do the show even after a loss. But yeah, that's something that he talked about too. It's just every moment in which you felt like the game was hanging in the balance, it was the Pelicans who were coming up with the big play and were coming up with an extra possession, or, you know, that just that those hustle plays that don't even necessarily show up in the stats. And this was a tough one for Damian Lillard. He was 7 of 18 in this game and 1 of 7 from beyond the arc. He had 4 assists, but he had 7 turnovers. And you heard how Eric Bledsoe voiced his frustration after the game. Damian Lillard also frustrated, but takes a different approach.
Just a little bit frustrated, you know, just expecting more out of myself. You know, coming into the playoffs, you know, teams going to lock in and they're going to try to make the game hard for you. And I give a lot of credit to them for, you know, executing their game plan, you know, seeing 2 and 3 guys, you know, it and making the game difficult, you know, but the opportunities that I do get, I just got to be better. You know, I think it's as simple as that. But I'm fine mentally. You know, it's just frustrating to, you know, fight an entire season for home court and then come out and not perform individually or as a team in the first 2 games of a playoff series. So, you know, we just got to move on to the next one.
So Dame did not say, Drew Holiday, I don't know who the bleep that is. Because he had a lot of time to watch him perform. Holiday with a career playoff high, 33 points. Rondo, 1 assist shy of a triple-double. And it was a great performance for New Orleans in being able to take that 2-0 lead, and they haven't even been at home yet. But you can certainly understand the pain and the sting for the Blazers and their fans after they work so hard, as he says, to get that home court, and then they squirrel it away. And it's just, it's like that. You've put yourself in this massive hole. So we'll see. I mean, I appreciate that Lillard is taking responsibility for it himself and not trying to be clickbait. No, I don't think that's what Eric Bledsoe was doing, but, you know, that's what's going to be all over the place today. Okay, so you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. What's it coming up? More overtime, so more sudden death. It all seems to be in one series. More reaction from Vegas as the Golden Knights just add yet another chapter to this incredible inaugural season. And also Aaron Rodgers. He actually needs fake news, believe it or not. He's asking for fake news. I'll explain. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Pass ahead to center. Spinelli on to the left side. A shot from Connolly. Rebound. It's in. It's in. They score. The Capitals have won with 11 minutes to go in double overtime. Good morning. Good afternoon. And good night, Columbus. Lars Eller appears to tip it in. And the Capitals are on the board. It's 2-1.
A win like this after playing for that long, you know, just I'm sure they feel a lot more tired in that room than we are feeling right now. You know, it gives you a lot of energy, and but I'm, you know, it's going to be a battle again, in game 4. You know, I think it's very fair that we at least have one win after these 3 games. You know, it's been close every game.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I mean, that's a bit of an understatement from Lars Eller, the center for the Washington Capitals, who gets a stick on this bouncing puck 9 minutes into the second overtime. You hear the great call there with John Walton on the Capitals radio network. So, yeah, he tips in this puck that first kind of caroms off of Sergei Bobrovsky's pads. And then there's another defender that's right there around the crease, and he tries to knock it out. But because it's rolling, it was on its side, so it doesn't go the way that he expects it to. And then Eller is able to get a stick on. Actually, it was a skate. It wasn't a stick. He's able to kind of tip it in. And I don't even think it was on purpose. It just the puck is bouncing around and it went off his skate and got in behind Bob. And so couldn't get covered up there. Finally goes in, and he's right. He makes a real good point. You can be sure that their adrenaline is carrying them, because the Capitals were in danger of going down 0-3 in this series, with all three games going into sudden death. But all three games have been won by the visiting team. So Columbus with two in D.C., and now you get a bit of a returning of the favor there with the Capitals against the Blue Jackets. Blue Jackets were 0-4 on the power play, so they had been better in the first two games of the series, but 0-4 last night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. There was, before we get to the Vegas reaction, because obviously that's the huge story coming from hockey, also wanted to mention, this was kind of a late-breaking story before the games last night, but the Minnesota Wild are without their captain, Zach Parise, who had scored in the first three games of their series against Winnipeg. And so he's got a broken sternum from late in game number three and is out. And so, I mean, talk about an uphill climb. It already was anyway against the Jets. And then last night you had, after he found out that he was a finalist for the Vezina Trophy, Connor Hellebuck with 30 saves and another shutout for the Jets. And this is the guy who got pulled. So he got pulled from game number three. I think it was just his second early exit of the entire season. And he gets bounced because the Wild of this flurry of goals. Remember, there were like three of them in 4 minutes time. And so he didn't finish the game. But he responds with a shutout. So that's cool. A bit of vindication there for Hellebuck. So the Wild are now one game away from elimination. And then you've got the Kings, who are already done at the hands of the Vegas Golden Knights. 4-1 goal games. And you know what? If I'm not mistaken, so don't quote me on this. Well, you can't, I guess. And if I'm wrong, you can let me know. I think there've only been four games that have gone into sudden death so far. Three of them have been in the Columbus Washington series. And the other one was maybe game two. Was it Friday night? Game two, maybe, between Vegas. Maybe it was Saturday, between Vegas and Los Angeles. So I feel like those are the only four games we've had so far that have been in sudden death. And it's kind of quirky that three of them have been in one series. Again, you can quote me, and if I'm wrong, you can let me know. Sometimes they all blend together. But we do know that Vegas and L.A. are done. And so not only are the Golden Knights in their first ever playoff series, not only do they have the home ice advantage, but they also now have had a sweep and are the first team to move on to the second round. They'll await the winner of the Sharks and the Ducks, which is a 3-0 series. It'll be back on the ice tonight. Thought it was kind of cool to hear some of these guys get a little more reflective. I mean, you're not going to get a lot of this during the season because they're locked into what's going on, and because their coach, Gerard Gallant, reportedly forbid them to use the word playoffs in the locker room during their regular season. But I enjoyed hearing James Neal after this series was over. So last night, post-game on the ice, talking about teaming up with Marc-Andre Fleury. I mean, think about where these two guys were a year ago. They were both in the Stanley Cup final. And no, Fleury didn't play in that particular series. Remember, he had helped to get to the Penguins back to the Stanley Cup final. And then they went with Matt Murray, and they decided that Matt Murray was their guy moving forward. And Fleury wanted to be a full-time starter. And certainly he has proved that he is worthy of that. But Neal, in not quite the exact same situation, but Nashville having just gotten to its first ever Stanley Cup final, and then abruptly it's done and they both end up in Vegas. So it's cool to hear Neal reflect about that moment when he found out, and when they found out, the two of them, that they'd actually be teammates as opposed to being on the opposite side, which was the last time they were on the ice.
My first text was to Flower, you know, when he got picked. So we both knew we were going there a few days before the draft. So playing with him in Pittsburgh, knowing him, and knowing how great of a person he was and how great of a goalie he was, we're going to be off to a good start with a goalie like that. So, and then seeing the way things folded, unfolded, and then the way our team came together was pretty amazing.
Just having that element to the story is even better. The fact that these guys were left unprotected, the veterans, and no, we're not talking about a team full of misfits, right? We're not talking about a team full of players that were so bad that no one wanted them. I mean, that'd be way too melodramatic because each NHL team could only protect so many guys, but still, they were left unprotected. No matter how you spin it, no matter how you look at the process and break it down, fact is, their teams believed that they were dispensable, believed that they could be replaced, or that they had better options at those particular positions. And so it's been quite a year for these guys to get thrown onto the ice in Vegas. Brand new situation for them, for their families. Ready, go. And obviously the expectations are low, and yet they refuse to believe that there was a ceiling to what they could do. And gosh, the extra motivation. That's one thing the analytics cannot measure. Analytics do not take into account the human heart or the extra motivation when we feel slighted or, you know, the effort that we put into rising to the occasion. That's not something that you can measure by a mathematical formula. And like you hear with James Neal on NBC Sports Network, I mean, this was not all bad, finding out that he was going to be teaming up with Flower, who's got one of the best nicknames in the NHL. All right, so that's really cool. Gerard Gallant, by the way, is relatively stoic most of the time, but he was able to crack a smile afterwards.
It's been incredible. I mean, obviously, playing the four games, and they're all one-goal games. You know, I mean, incredible games, 1-0, 1-0, what, 2-1 and double overtime, and then 3-2. So, you know, it was good, two good teams, and I guess basically we got a little bit more puck luck than they did. I mean, both goaltenders were excellent. It was a great series, and, you know, like I said, we got a little bit more puck luck, and we cashed in at the right times.
I usually go with hashtag because it's the cup, but hashtag puck luck might be my new favorite. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. With some great news, there's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. We'll wrap up with a little bit of football. We're a week away from the draft. Which is nutso. It starts next Thursday, and we'll finally have a lot of our questions answered. But you're finally getting a bunch of these players and coaches on mic and talking about some of the offseason developments, because many of them are showing up for their offseason workouts. And so, for instance, Jason Garrett having a bunch of microphones in front of his face to have to talk about the Dez Bryant situation. Now, you remember what Dez said. He told Jane Slater of NFL Network that he believed the big reason why this decision was made was the Garrett guys, and he referred to the captains, and we already knew that he felt slighted by not being selected as a captain for the Dallas Cowboys. So the Garrett guys is who he pointed to, and so then Jason Garrett had to respond, and I appreciate that he's not going to be able to say anything super controversial, but he did just lose one of his top players.
It's a challenging situation. A lot of different factors go into these kinds of decisions. And again, the guidepost for all of us is what's in the best interest of the Dallas Cowboys. And that's why we made this decision. We wish Dez nothing but the best going forward. He's a special guy. I love him. I will always love him.
He is a special guy. He is. I'm waiting for that news anxiously. Come on, it needs to happen. I want to be able to talk about Dez's next destination and how that might affect the Dallas Cowboys.
And everybody know, and little do they know is, I know.
I know that you know, that they know, that you know it was the Garrett guys. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Aaron Rodgers cracks me up with his Twitter. We know he's got an edge to him anyway, and he gets so annoyed with media. So yesterday, I was sleeping, so my timeline is going to be different than yours. So for those of you who kind of saw all this develop or were hearing about it in real time, I did not. But what I woke up to were a couple of different tweets that had to do with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. And one of them was a headline clearly designed to grab the attention of the average sports fan and get that sports fan to open up the article.
Twitter can blow up.
To go ahead and click on it, right? That's why they call it clickbait. And so it said something along the lines of Aaron Rodgers unhappy with the Packers not consulting him about decisions. That was the gist. I'm paraphrasing. And then it even suggested in the body of the post that was online that it was affecting contract negotiations with Aaron. And obviously he's in line for what you would presume would be the fattest contract for a quarterback to date in football history. I didn't open up that column. I honestly to God don't even remember who put it out there. And that's fine. Maybe you do. Maybe you read it. And maybe the story is 100% completely accurate. That could be fine too. But then Aaron Rodgers decides he's going to take to Twitter. And he does it in a subtle way that you can definitely read between the lines and know what he's talking about. But he doesn't actually dignify that article with a direct response. Instead, he puts a Green Bay Packers column in a tweet, which was relatively bland. Like the headline for the Packers, this was actually Packers.com, right? So team employees we're talking about here. And they were interviewing the same guys at offseason workouts. And their headline was something boring like, Aaron Rodgers reacts to offseason changes.
What in the f*** was that?
No, there was none of the clickbait. It was just Rodgers reacts, Rodgers talks, you know, something like that. And so Aaron quotes that tweet in that column, that headline, and says, I feel like the title of this article needs more clickbait. Come on, GBP. That's what he calls this team. GBP. Make something up. Or talk to some unnamed sources close to me or something to beef up the clicks. And if you follow Aaron on Twitter, you know that he always uses hashtags that have nothing to do with his story or some way in his mind they do, but the rest of us are completely left in the dark.
Hashtag.
And so one of his hashtags is Dalai Lama is a Packers fan. Another hashtag is relax, which that one's just awesome considering his history. And then another one is meditation. Maybe he learned that from the Dalai Lama and also Fake News Tuesday. So that was what he put out there. And one of his teammates jumps on it and was like, you must be distracted and not value football. I sure hope you took your playbook while visiting His Holiness, referring to the Dalai Lama. I mean, that's the thing. You can do your journalism and you can put your stories out there, but the athletes now have the power, probably more power than the journalists do, to be able to respond and get their own message across. So many questions, so little time. The NFL draft is almost here. Nobody covers it better than NFL Network. So go behind the scenes into all 32 war rooms as the stars of tomorrow are selected. The draft starts April 26th on NFL Network and Fox. Have a great hump day. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.